This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is known for its delicious mushroom coffee. That's right, I've been drinking mushroom coffee for the first time in my entire life this week, and I love it. Now, Four Sigmatic's mushroom coffee is real, organic, fair trade, single origin Arabica coffee. That's right. With lion's mane mushroom for productivity and chaga mushroom for immune support. So, in case you've been wondering, I've been starting my day with Four Sigmatic's ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee, and I love how it helps me focus so I can get shit done. It's amazing, and I absolutely feel an uptick in my productivity every time I drink it. It helps me focus like nothing else. Mushroom coffee is easy on my gut and doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or midday crash. All Four Sigmatic products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free. Plus, every single batch is third-party lab tested to ensure its purity and safety, so you know you're getting the highest quality coffee and mushrooms possible. Now, you're probably thinking, does this coffee taste like mushrooms? I can guarantee it tastes like the coffee that you love. It brews dark and nutty and tastes incredible. And over 20,000 five-star reviews, and best of all, Four Sigmatic backs their products with a 100% money-back guarantee. Love every sip or get your money back. Now, we've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, but this is just for Reality and SFW listeners. So get up to 40% off plus free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim this deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/survivor. This offer is only for Reality and SFW listeners and is not available on their regular website. Once again, save up to 40% and get free shipping. So go right now to foursigmatic.com/survivor. They love it when we use that. And fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee. Welcome to Reality NSFW Challenge Double Agents Coverage Finale Part 1. I'm Johnny Fairplay. I'm joined by Alex and Lauren. What is up, guys and gal?
We're almost there. I say it every week, but we're almost there. We're actually hitting the finish line.
Maybe. I'm expecting a Part 3.
There could be. I was so pissed because I thought tonight was it. And then I was just like, you know what? Tonight was so good. I'm like, I can do one more of those. So
yeah, I was fine with tonight's episode.
The last 18 weeks have been a little slow, but tonight I was all in. So let's just start with the peek behind the curtain. Zach Hacker and I went to Hearts of Reality in December. And Zach was anxious to meet Memphis and Christmas for me to disprove that they were actually good people. And we went to dinner, and Zach was like, holy shit, I don't hate Memphis. This is shocking. But the second biggest thing, and possibly most important thing, Zach was really anxious to meet Casey. So, Just a wonderful human being. She's one of the most likable people that you'll ever meet, in spite of what we saw a little bit at the beginning of the episode and what Cam has related to us. But not true. Everyone, like I had someone bring up something on Twitter. They're just like, you know, you were talking about the girls on Pearl Islands. They couldn't come up. I'm just like, yeah, you know, we weren't making a fucking television show. You know, sorry, I should have just shut the fuck up and just sat there and said nothing. So no, trying to entertain, trying to say, like, when I say something that's catastrophically wrong and then, you know, it comes back to bite me in the ass, that's good TV. People like that. I'm the bad guy. It's okay. So I'll throw those conversations out there, because I know that as a producer and an editor, you're like, hey, thanks, Johnny Fairplay. That worked out for the fucking television show that we're making. So I think the Cam Casey love is there, and you know, we're making a television show. It's okay, folks. Yeah. So that first night there was a party, very small deal with just the reality people that have been brought in and tested for COVID and all that, very, very small, exclusive affair. And, Casey was one of the first people we see, and roll that beautiful bean footage, Alex. There's the picture. That's the girl that I see and introduce to Zach with a fucking walking cast. I'm like, oh, no. This is not what I want to see. So for those of you that are just listening to the podcast, it's a picture of me and my Survivor sweater and Casey and her Christmas get up with Christmas tree lights. And she has a huge Stone Cold Steve Austin walking cast on her knee. So we can bring Lauren back.
Well, you could have just left it up the whole time if you really wanted to, Johnny.
Oh,
okay then.
So I immediately excuse myself from the situation because I'm just like, I don't want to know anything. And Zach, you know, had a brief conversation. You know, I later rejoined, but she was Zach was like, weren't you on the last challenge? She goes, yeah, I did this in the final. So for me, I was so fortunate that I was not there for that conversation. I loathe spoilers, but I had a feeling that she didn't do it, you know, playing badminton in her backyard. Gosh darn it. We will get to that moment, but I just wanted to give everybody a little peek behind the curtain there. So boom. Previously on Survivor, we have Casey going down the volcano shaft. And as much as some of you might think that that's a little lame, I would imagine that's the first time Casey's ever gone down a shaft.
A lot of firsts tonight for Casey.
Just kidding, folks. Just
oh my God.
We make jokes here, Casey. We love you. Speedy recovery. I would like to think that right now Casey is in quarantine and ready to go back and win one of TJ's gold skulls, which may or may not qualify her for TJ's.
Along with one of our other favorite people as well.
Oh, who's one of our other favorite people?
I mean, isn't it a given? It's our favorite person week after week.
Oh, you think Fessy's going to be back there in quarantine? You think Fessy's in quarantine right now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know who's not?
Jay.
Jay.
Man, breaking quarantine protocol? Come on, man. You're better than that.
Well, yeah, based off what's been revealed so far, it looks like they had a lot more guys than women revealed so far. So it probably you could basically burn him as an alternate. But it's a shame. I wanted CJ back.
Yeah, big time. I mean, like, Jay, he's been in the hunt, but, you know, his back's been against the wall, you know, like being like the one survivor and then one of two survivors. But now, I mean, just think about the fucking CBS Alliance.
It's a majority.
It is a majority
because
you'll have CBS and Big Brother will work. Survivor and Big Brother will work together.
Yeah,
they might stab each other after the fact, but they will work together until that they understand how alliances work and the strategic aspect of reality competition television shows. So whereas the MTV or so say that's half our roster. The other half is MTV, you know, challenge, real world, road rule people, and then the X on the beach and
Are You the One
and the internationals
and all those. And the MTV people kind of just isolate to themselves and then have their internal feuds amongst themselves. So they're so splintered that I just see the CBS advantage just eating all these other
absolutely. And an issue there is they're casting Survivor people and Big Brother people who are friends with each other.
Yeah.
And even if they had beef before, they've squashed it and they're coming in as friends.
Yep.
Without beef. And they're like, we're coming in, we're being a unit. Doesn't matter what happens, we're being a unit. And even if they betray each other, and you could say there's was betrayal this season amongst the Big Brother people, there I'm guaranteed, even with what we saw today, like I'm guaranteeing though, we're gonna go into next season. There's gonna be no hard feelings between Fessy and Casey over what happened today.
No.
I don't think so at all. Now where does Tommy fit into all of this? Because I actually was surprised to see Tommy on the list.
There's no teaching time with Tommy on the challenge.
Oh, sorry. You said Tommy Sheehan. I went to sleep. I'm just excited that he's leaving his Disney mugs at home unattended for my penis to go into. So, I'm excited. How many weeks is he going to be gone? You know how many mugs that is?
On mugs.
I will break his dishwasher on my way out of his apartment. I promise. So, we get back into the house and we get a little Joan Jett bad reputation. I was a fan back in the day. I was a fan when Ronda Rousey came to the ring to that great entrance music. And I was cool. I you know, like a lot of the people, you know, that left in this crazy eight, you know, they may have tarnished their reputations a little bit to make it to the final. They may have done some things that they might regret. You know, they might have backstabbed some people, severed some friendships. But that's what it's all about. In the grand scheme of things, you're playing. I thought it was for $1 million, but you're playing for $900,000.
Yeah, I also thought it was for $1 million. Yeah, you know, it challenge, Big Brother, Survivor, whatever game you want to be talking about. Dirty moves have to be made, or what people will call dirty, but it's really just moves. Moves have to be made.
It comes down to who's your better friend. I mean, when phone calls initially went out for Survivor Legends that later became Survivor Winners at War, you know, like I'm hearing all these people getting calls, and some of them I liked, a lot of them I didn't like. And, you know, and I told my closest friends, a lot of which not even in the Survivor community. And they're just like, ooh, fair play. That sucks. You know, that's a lot of people you don't like. And I'm like, that's what I want. I'm like, I ain't trying to send home my friends.
Yeah.
I'm trying to send home motherfuckers I don't like. So exactly. Get me plenty of those. So because like that's fun for me. Like sending home my friends ain't no fun in that. So give me enough to do something, but that's it. You can whatever that number needs to be, I'm cool with that number and I'll do my damage from there. So but I don't need if it's fair play and 19 of his favorite friends, that sounds like a shit fucking season for me and them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not them. They might not be as good of friends as I thought they were. So it comes down to, you know, like there's you know, casual friends, there's good friends, there's close friends. And so I think a lot of these people made close friends decisions and they're happy with those decisions. And I am for them.
Yeah, you have to make the moves that you think are necessary to get yourself to the end with the person that you would like to run it with, thinking that gives you the best opportunity. And even if you don't have that, like you want to at least be with someone, like you said, who you're friends with and like I'm not going to be mad if we lose. I just want to make I know this person's going to give it their all. Like the Leroy Nani pairing on paper, just because Nani's like not the best runner of everyone there, Leroy's like, you know, it's fine. We're going to do our best to win. But like running with her is going to be good enough for me instead of someone that I don't mesh with.
Yeah.
Well, he's a supportive partner, if you look at it, because he was cheering her on all day long. He was not pushing her. I mean, we saw it with Fessy. Fessy was pushing Casey to her limit, literally. And Leroy was just helping Nani along the way, which that's an encouragement Nani needs. If she, and that's why they're good together, because they have good communication. They know that they can catch up with each other, with everyone else.
And if this is the end of Leroy's story, which he's told us in about every other confessional.
Has he now?
I've heard that and you need a gold skull more than I care to mention at this point.
You forgot TJ's final too.
Yeah, I hear it in my sleep at this point. But no, Leroy started this whole journey way back, you know, Real World Vegas with Nani. And then here we are full circle. I love it. I think it's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And I hope that like this, you know, this isn't you guys' pick, but it's my pick for the best story that we can tell. I will say after part one of TJ's final, I'd like Nani to pick up the pace a little bit. I mean, like when I didn't think it was that big a deal at one point of the episode, but then I'm realizing it kind of is. So come on, Nani. I mean, you know what you signed up for? A 3 mile run. I did a 3 mile run today. I didn't take a break. If I took a break, I could run 2 more miles, no problem. And if I took a break after that, I could run 3 more miles, no problem. So, but if I really needed to, I could run 13 miles, no problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, we also have to take into account like the elements too, because of, I mean, it is tough running into that wind. It's got to be. And then the terrain as well. Did you know it was a hurricane? Oh, yeah. How many times did that get mentioned?
It was a hurricane, I hear. So, well, okay, I'll say this. I've run, I don't know, like 8 half marathons now. Mm-hmm. My best time ever was not on the beach, flat terrain, paved course. My best time ever was 28 degrees, rocks, hills, all that stuff. And I think I did like an hour and 40 minutes. And it was only because it was the worst fucking thing I've ever done in my entire life. And I just wanted it fucking over.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That makes sense. I mean, I'm a runner too, so I actually definitely feel that. Because when it is really cold, you just want to be done so you can get warm again.
Yeah, I'm not a runner, but I remember my times doing sprints in track. Like, that was my thing. I wasn't distance. I was sprinting. And I just remember there would be stretches. You're doing the 400 or 800, and you turn, and you're in that wind tunnel. And you're literally seeing yourself stopping. Like, you're running in place, it feels like, the entire time. It's not fun. It's not easy, but like you said, if you're going on the challenge, you have to give it your all. It's your job to figure out how to run in terrain and not flat track. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that currently. I would need to train for months in order to be able to do this. But you got that time if your career is the challenge.
Mm-hmm. So we had the crazy eight. We're left with nothing but great competitors.
Yeah,
there is no one that shouldn't be there. I think of our final eight here.
They all earned their spot one way or the other.
Yeah, so
I would have preferred Kyle being there, but
me too. And some of them had to go in twice into elimination, so those people definitely earned their spot.
Yeah, and Fessy. I mean,
one was tricked into going in twice, but
he wrote a letter. I didn't know. Like, I caught it on the recap at the beginning of the show. Leroy is rolling his eyes during the letter read. I missed that the first go around.
Yeah, literally, I feel like all of them were at some point or another. Yeah. Like, oh my god, man, why?
That made me so happy. So next, it is the last club night in the Ice Dome, and it's so appropriate. They're playing "Nothing But a Good Time" by Poison, which harkened me back to the days when I was living in Los Angeles. I went to the 30 Under 30 party by whatever magazine did it. And it was the 30 most influential people under 30 most influential celebrities under the age of 30. And Britney Spears' sister was there. And anyway, for some reason, CeCe DeVille was there, the guy from Poison. And I was wearing these like Diesel jeans that do you remember the girl Forbidden from MySpace?
That's before me.
Okay. I mean, I was around for MySpace, but not like
okay. Well, Forbidden was like one of the you know, a big part. Yeah. Anyway, so Forbidden was doing these bleach washes on these jeans, and she had done a like I knew Forbidden, and she did a bleach wash on my jeans. So CeCe gets there to the party. He's like, "Oh my god, Johnny Fairplay, look at those jeans. Can I check those out?" I was like, "Yeah." And he's like touching the material on my jeans, and he grabs my dick. I was like, "That ain't my jeans." So, but apparently, he was looking for nothing but a good time.
Yeah. That song was probably playing in his head.
So I got that going for me at the end of the day. So we hear at this point that throughout the episode a little bit, we hear why some people want to win the season. At this point, we hear Cam wants to help out her sisters, you know, with her college fund. She wants to do things to help Black Lives Matter, and this potentially can give her the platform to do great things in the world. You know, I was hoping she would mention, you know, me and Leroy moving in together. Maybe I could buy some house plants. Yeah, I didn't hear any of that.
Oh, yeah, it all sounded great. And like, that's what I always feel is redeeming about Cam, no matter what people think about her. I'm like, at the end of the day, like, she's doing a lot of these for good causes. Yeah. Outside. And like, I love her mentioning like how this is probably one of the most, and not probably, it is the most diverse final. Like, we have 8 people competing, only one of them's white, the rest are people of color of any sort. Yeah. I find that fantastic.
I love it. And I didn't notice, because like, I, you know,
like, yeah, because you're just looking at them as like, these are all really good competitors.
Great personality, diverse personalities, in that I got a guy I hate, I got a guy I love, I got a girl I love, I got, you know, so yeah. That's, I look like, for me as a reality television viewer, I think the best thing is the relatability of the viewer and the star. In that, you know, like, Fessy reminds you of the guy from high school that you fucking hated, you know, and Cam reminds you of the head of the cheerleaders that was super cool, and Nani's the cute girl that you always wanted to ask out but you never did, you know, and
CT's the drunk dad at the football game who gets into a fight.
He lost his dad bod. You got to give him a little bit. He lost his dad bod for this season.
Oh, I'm not calling him a dad bod. He's a dad. That's all he is. I was about
to say, were you at my high school, Alex? Because that seems that's pretty on
track. I feel like it's on point for any high school, really. Yeah. there's always a handful.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me so happy. So you know, we then have the conversation with CT and Amber. And, you know, and Amber's just like, you know, how many finals have you been? And he's like, I've won 3 finals. And Amber's at this point is like,
good.
Like, you know, he's not quite dad bod CT. You know, I don't have that guy. You know, I saw this guy kind of kill it with fucking puzzles earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care what shape's in, CT's tough. And he's done this 3 times. He probably has it in the ability. He probably has the ability to. Hey, thanks for the super sticker there, Sarah. Look at you. You're a superstar. So he also has demonstrated, you know, with one small lapse, how encouraging it be with whoever he's an agent with, as we saw with Big T, minus the one moment. So if I'm Amber, like, all this is computing in my head, because I don't even think she's thought about CT as a partner. No. You know, like, it's just like, you know, he's got this person. I got direct. I mean, she has been pretty freaking fortunate throughout this thing, with the exception of Corey.
Yeah, essentially, like, Amber, and like, you also see Amber's like purpose now is like, now I go back on, I retract what I say a couple weeks ago when she picks Fessy. Like, yes, it was a grudge move picking Fessy as a partner, but now we see, like, no, she wanted to have him as partner and then, like, prove to him by being his partner that they can win. So now her purpose is, and CT highlights it, it's like, I want revenge. I want to prove the Big Brother people wrong, and so I'm going to win it with you. And CT's like, oh, I only have, like, speaking as Amber, like, I only have to run? And you'll take care of everything else. I can do that.
Yeah. So I love just seeing the light bulb come on. It's just like, you know what? This ain't a bad idea. And for record, despite the curse of Corey, not a bad partner.
No, not a bad partner.
He's a great competitor. He really is. Yeah. And I will touch on in terms of Amber B. If she does. If she's with CT, they complement each other because he's really good at what she's not. And if he can slightly keep up with her in the running, which we've seen so far, it's a great duo.
Well, yeah. Like, the thing before you continue, Johnny, is like, the one thing everyone needs to remember, it was said during it was like the second Champs versus Stars one that they attempted to do. And it was like Johnny, Bananas, CT, Emily Chom, like a lot of them were working together. And a lot of people were counting CT out because he was in his dad bod mode. And Johnny Bananas goes like, guys, like, it doesn't matter what CT looks like. He can even look like an Adonis or look like be a fat slob. He's going to be the same no matter what when it comes to competing. Like, he could look overweight and still outrun everyone, outrun in distance, out-challenge you, out-swim you, like, out-puzzle you. Yeah. He has the grit. Like, it's that old school, like, mentality of just, like, he wants it, and that motivation is just driving his body to do the rest.
He's just like what Boston Tough, you know, Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
Like those guys, like you put a Boondock Saint guy on the challenge, he's probably going to fucking win.
Yeah. It's just like he has more drive, I feel, than most.
And more heart for sure. Yeah. Because he knows he's doing it for a purpose. Like, he goes out there each and every single time in it to win it. And his head is always in the game. He never falters from that. He's always strategically thinking what is best for me to get myself to a final.
Yeah, like Mikey B from Survivor Micronesia. He's one of those Boston Boondock Saint guys. He fell off a chimney and broke his back. Wasn't supposed to walk again. And then, you know, he's playing Survivor.
So that's incredible. Guys,
yeah,
just extra stuff.
Yeah, it's just that will. You have to have willpower, and we'll see it later in the episode. There's some people in this eight that were like, oh, these are all impressive athletes. So maybe one in particular does not have the willpower.
Ugh.
Maybe. So we hear that Corey just wants to beat Fessy, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? My best revenge isn't taking you out, because I know you'll probably stay. My best case of revenge is getting you to that final. I get there, and I beat your ass in it. Yeah.
That I think Corey's stock on this episode, I had him good. At the end of this episode, I have him great. I mean, the self-realization of the edit that he knows he's going to get, you know.
Oh, yeah. Where,
you know, saying that, hey, you fucked over my boy earlier, but we're cool. But here's the deal. Fuck you.
And he's saying that to the confessional, but like in Fessy's mind, Fessy's like, oh, I squashed this. We're buddies again. Yeah. Like, you can see it in Fessy's eyes as he's having this conversation, just like
to himself.
Yeah, he's like, I'm doing so good right now. I'm doing so good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get out another letter so I can explain to myself to the mirror like how good of a job I just handled this situation.
Yeah. Now he explained to himself with Corey there how everything was squashed and how he's cool with it.
And Corey's just like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm glad.
Well, it goes back to Fessy's self-awareness. It's not there. Clearly, he never knows how other people perceive him.
Yeah. So we then hear from Casey, and I'm just like, oh fuck. This is like on Survivor Pro Islands when I go, I got $1 million that says Sandra doesn't win this thing.
Yeah. Never.
Never say those words. And Casey's just like, nothing is gonna stop me from winning this. And I'm like, oh no,
that happened
right there. That's when she blows out her knee when she says that in the fucking ice dome.
She's like, I would fucking die for this shit. I'm like, well you might.
Yeah, don't say that.
I'm like, God, wait, don't wish this upon yourself.
Yeah. Well, she might die for it, but her partner's rude. Not willing to die for it. He's willing to give up.
Oh, he's, oh my God. If you didn't like Fessy going to this episode, this might be the greatest episode of all time.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, yeah.
Because the editors were just like, here you go.
He was like,
they couldn't have CGI'd him to look worse.
Oh, so bad.
No, it was just perfect. Because like everyone says, like, oh, reality TV, it's, you know, it's scripted, it's manufactured, they're only showing the good things. I'm like, if you've seen good reality television, if there's someone that they can want to expose, they will fully expose them.
Oh yeah.
No way.
So no, I'm just imagining that like they don't like him.
They don't like him, but they know that, like, oh, if we keep bringing him back, people are going to watch to hate him. Like, that's why they're going to watch. They're like, I'm going to watch so that I can go on Twitter and complain that he's on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's that, that helps them.
I cast that person. I mean, like, if I'm casting 37, I don't care what the fucking theme is. The first name I have on a piece of paper is Fessy.
Like, honestly, to me, at this point, it's once Fessy becomes likable is the season that I stop casting him.
Yeah.
Because then he's not useful anymore to me.
Yeah. It depends. I mean, like, it's kind of like reverse Roman Reigns. Like, yeah. Roman Reigns, like, you know, we wanted to hate him so bad. And they're just like, nope, he's a good guy. Fucking root for him. Yeah. And, you know, we're like, no, fuck him.
And then they finally turned him.
And then they turned him. I'm just like, oh, my God, how fucking great is he at this? Maybe Fessy's going to be the greatest good guy ever. I don't think he is.
No.
Like, no. It definitely takes terrible. A lot
There's
of
no
time.
Way. There's no way. And I will sit here just flat on say, if he gets an arc where he looks like a good guy, I will give like money for that. It's not okay. Gonna happen.
It's CGI, market right? 3 seasons from now. Hey, yeah. Look at the hero edit Fessy's getting.
I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
It's not happening. It's not. And if it does,
know your opinions on
it. If it does, we can all stop watching.
But I will say it was uncalled for Cam saying Casey's looking like the female version of Fessy. Because I feel like in Casey's mind, yes, she wanted to run with Fessy, but she would have ran with Leroy if she had to. Like, yeah, she would have ran with anyone and been good with it.
And I feel like she was showing confidence, not arrogance. There's a difference.
Yes.
Like with me as a bad guy, like there's a playfulness to my my badness versus like a Russell Hance or a Boston Rob, they're just bad people. Like there's a maliciousness to what they do. So whereas I think there's a playfulness to mine, and like with Casey, I think there's just a confidence versus an arrogance.
Yeah, and there's no problem with being confident. Like Cam, I feel like Cam realizes that even as she's saying that, because like Cam's the same. Like Cam exudes confidence.
Yes,
and it's like I walk in knowing that I'm the shit. My shit does not stink, and I know everyone wants to follow with me and tag on to me because they think that I give them a good chance to win. And Casey just is an equal there.
I love Cam. I love so many people on this cast. It's like I did not expect to leave this season going, oh my God, I love them. I love them. I love them.
There was only a couple duds on the season. Only a couple duds.
Yeah. Liz B writes, the producers knew that Casey would be yelling at him to eat that stuff, even if she hadn't blown out any. Of course. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's low hanging fruit. There's just all this. It's just like, oh my God, he's going to look like an ass here. He's going to look like an ass here. He's going to look like an ass here. And he delivers.
Yeah, and yeah, I loved it. Sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I was going to say, I loved the callback though. Because that first thing I think of when they open up the food and you see Fessy's face, I go back to the episode where they did that in the Escape the Cage challenge. Yeah. And he's pretending that like, oh, I don't want to eat this stuff so that I don't have to be Anissa's partner. But you could also tell that he's just being a bitch because he doesn't want to eat the food.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm so glad it, like, karma. Karma's so fantastic. And the challenge gods knew what needed to happen.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, but don't go on. If you can't eat it, don't go on. You know that eating is going to be on every single season. It's something they do in all the finals.
Just puke.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, do what Corey did. Corey pukes the most out of anyone, but he's still going to eat it no matter what.
I still have a problem with the if you can chew and puke, then who can't do that?
I mean, Fessy, apparently, he didn't even try.
Yeah, you can fake eat anything.
I know. But you know Corey's not fake eating.
Yeah, he's actually eating it. He's just like keep it down.
Survivor, if you throw something up, you have to pick it up off the fucking ground and eat it.
Yeah.
So they have them buckets. And I'm just sitting there and just like, awesome. Yeah.
But like, it's like you even hear CT saying during it, it's like, puke, I have to puke in order to create more room in my stomach to eat the rest of this. Yeah. So maybe it's just so much because I know there's also things about like with blood that they were drinking is like you can only drink so much blood before your body rejects it and forces you to puke it out.
Not according to this goth chick I used to date.
Well,
I'm kidding. Goth chicks wouldn't date me. Look at me.
Well, no, maybe before we head into the actual final, we hear a little bit from some of our sponsors.
Real quick before we get there.
Yeah.
We're almost there. I just had to throw this out real quick. Right before they go out, we see that Corey brought a shitload of family pics, and I'm just like, oh my God, that's so smart. Because like, if I had gone out there, I would have brought like a pick of Piper and a pick of Madeline. I would have brought like two pictures, or maybe three, maybe a picture of both of them. This motherfucker brings like 150 pictures. I'm like, that's smart. Like, why wouldn't you bring 150 pictures?
Yeah.
He's experienced. He's done these challenges so many times. He knows exactly what to bring.
Oh my God. I sat there. I'm just like, you know, I consider myself a smart reality person. I'm just like, I'm a fucking moron. There's no way I bring more than three pictures.
Mm.
Why?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know. If you have the ability to do it, just bring them.
I mean, what's the difference? Like, if you're protecting three pictures, you can protect a 100 pictures in a fucking rubber band. They're not getting fucked up. They're getting less fucked up than your three pictures.
Yeah. And they're probably extras.
I'm so mad at myself for not even thinking of that for a situation that hasn't even happened in my life.
Well, just be ready for that when you have your Survivor Legends on Paramount Plus.
Okay. I will.
It's your luxury.
I'll bring the Patreon pictures from each month. I'll shock your mind.
That and your cats. You got to make sure you have your cats in there too.
Well, I'm not doing the fucking circle. I mean, oh, and the picture.
Yeah, the picture.
The picture.
Okay, got it. All right. Let's hear from the sponsors. When it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest. Most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who makes snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with less than 1 gram of sugar.
Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars contain less than 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 150 calories.
They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle and the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm personally not a keto eater, but I love these nut and seed bars. I try to have one of these always on me for a snack because I'm usually trying to train for a new running distance I'm trying to hit. I think 2021 is going to be the year for my first full marathon, and I think Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars are going to help me get there because they're giving me the energy I need and the nutrition I need to make those health goals possible.
Wow. Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars have the perfect balance of sweet and salty, a crunch from whole nuts and seeds, but still manage to be soft and chewy. How do they do it? They come in delicious flavors like sea salt, dark chocolate, pecan almond, and my favorite, no contest, love these so much, game changers, if you will, the peanut butter dark chocolate.
So good. They're perfect for a quick snack to satisfy your sweet tooth without any guilt. Enjoy Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars as a quick breakfast, while running errands, or after a workout.
In addition to being keto friendly, these bars are gluten-free, plant-based, and non-GMO. So with no soy, trans fat, sugar, alcohols, or artificial flavors.
They really taste incredible, and you can't beat the low sugar nutrition or taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering promo code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer.
So to get started, just go to monkpack.com, that's MUNKPACK.com, and select any product and then use promo code SURVIVOR, they love it when we do that, at checkout to save 20% off your purchase.
Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious foods you can count on, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast.
Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your balls in a few months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with a ball fro. Would you show up to your first day of school without a haircut?
Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Johnny, how's your grooming been lately?
Oh, man, I am sleek, aerodynamic. I'm like that new Tesla. I mean, I got a bunch of 5Ks coming up. I got a bunch of half marathons coming up. Oh man, I'm going to run so fast. There's no friction between Johnny Fairplay, little Johnny Fairplay, and home sweet home.
Oh, that's good news, because Manscaped is here to help everyone else get on that level with their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. It's the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of their ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining.
The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. Now, the Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant, which ensures that your afternoon stroll doesn't end with your balls sticking to your leg. They call that bat winging. You can eliminate that with a little manscaping, courtesy of the Crop Preserver. But the Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. It's made with the soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts that give your balls a boost. Now, subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. Don't be using no old razor. Come on. And making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean.
The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through quarantine with the Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that. And your first date will thank you. Yay.
Yeah.
And we're back. It's time for the challenge. We find out here that someone's going to be eliminated. Third place gets nothing. Second place gets $100,000. And first place gets $900,000. Why not $1 million?
Yeah, the way they pitched it at the beginning of the season made it sound like you win or you get nothing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've liked those seasons better because it makes people push harder. Because, like, even when you know you have a fallback option of 100K, you're like, it could push you a little less. But if you know I can win everything or just get the stipend, yeah, I'm going to get everything.
I'm cool with 100K per second, but first should still be $1 million.
I agree.
Like, don't get right there. Like,
did they clarify if your partner can steal, if that's an option for the season?
They didn't say it.
They didn't
say it. Okay. Because that could be pretty iconic if that's an option.
Oh, well, I mean,
I don't think any of them are going to do it.
No. I don't know. You never know. Just like, think about it. If you got to the end and it was an option, I think Leroy and Nani for sure would split.
I think it would be hard to do that because in the seasons where they allowed people to steal, they made it known in like each mission or like each checkpoint, like who won it or who on your team had the advantage.
Well, we saw that Amber B as of stage one, there's no way to tell on stage two.
Yeah, you can't. So like, it's almost impossible to make that type of statement of, oh, well, Amber, you won the most checkpoints. You can do that because you already have a checkpoint where you can't really declare a winner.
Yeah.
So well, it could come into play on day two once they eliminate somebody. So we don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We'll see. We'll see next week, hopefully, unless they want to do like a 5-part finale.
Oh, please. Please, dear God.
Yeah, let's strive this for half a year. 26 yeah. weeks.
We're closing in on the half a year mark. This season started before the pandemic. I don't know if you guys are aware. So yeah, no one knew who the Tiger King was when this season started.
Nope.
All right. So it starts with a 3-mile 3-mile hike. And hey, I don't know if you guys heard, there's a hurricane coming.
Yep, tail end of a hurricane. And my one complaint about this episode was they had a perfect opportunity here to just at any point during the mission to throw in Rocky like a hurricane.
Right. Well, I'm guessing that the guy that does the music for All Stars is not the guy that does the music for this. Because some of the songs this season, it might be, and if it is, sorry, dude. Like, I think there's been a couple misses this season on Double Agents, whereas All-Stars has been fucking...
It's been great.
Boom. No, like he's batting 1,000.
Yeah, yeah. So. He's batting perfect. Like, yeah. He All-Stars, if you're not watching All-Stars, watch it, even if it's just for the music that they use. It's fantastic. So
good. Which we were going to have him on the pod, but he signed a non-disclosure. And he will not be joining us.
Dang it.
So, but
we will talk about it anyway.
Yes, yes. So, on my first season of Survivor, we had two tropical storms that later became hurricanes after they passed through where we were. And the first one was rough, but not that bad. It sucked. I mean, like, it just rained, So, but the next one, it rained for, I want to say, like, at least 12 hours straight. The rain was coming in horizontal, and like your hands and like basically from wrist down, ankles down were solid purple. I mean, just raisins and painful. I mean, it was literally painful. And I remember probably like 2 hours into this, finally production's like, we're out of here. Nobody die. And it was just like, whoa, what? Huh? And then we look at each other. We're like, oh, this shit's real. And so, but they also knew that it's so real that they fucking left that it's that they're like, they also knew we ain't going nowhere. It's just like, don't leave the fucking shelter for nothing. Yeah. And we didn't. So it was pretty fucking miserable. So I've actually been like, you know, I haven't seen the rain yet. It might be coming next up. I mean, but we had, as I said, just horizontal fucking rain for over 12 hours. And it was we just looked at each other and just cried. I mean, it was the most miserable I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, like they were saying here, though, that a couple people were saying it was a tail end of a hurricane. So the rain may have already passed, but you still have like the outlier of the wind and the intensity for that, which by itself can be very drastic depending on the severity of the hurricane. But you saw in the when they get to that first checkpoint for the women.
Yeah,
that wind was going.
Yeah. Yeah, big time, big time.
They got the real industrial fans out there for people who think it's fabricated.
Well, they film in Burbank.
Yeah, not a Big Bear.
Yeah, so Big Bear for the All Stars, Burbank Double Agents, just like Survivor. We filmed Survivor in Burbank. It took 4 hours just to get the bug bites every day. They paint them on one at a time. It's ridiculous. So. Amber B and CT are first to the checkpoint, and at this point we learned that Amber B wants to buy her mom a house if she were to get the money. It's just like, okay, you know. Yeah. And so we see them come in, you know, one after another, and at this point I'm just like, it doesn't seem to make a difference where they finish in this. And then after this checkpoint, we see that it does in that, you know, CT and Amber B get to go first. And then seconds later, and I'm just like, okay. Like, so for, like, I understand the confessionals are to build the drama, but it's just like, you know, we're in last place now, but you never know how long we're going to be in last place. I'm like, yeah, because you can fucking see them.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, in full reality, they all came in. It wasn't. Even though they were trying to show like, oh, they're this so far apart, for most of the filming, you could see all eight people at any given time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like this drastic, like Leroy and Nani were like 500 meters behind the next person or whatever. And they were like running 10-minute miles where the other people were running 6. So like if you're going by average of time, it is like you said, it's literally seconds. Like, okay, congratulations. You just won this and used all of your energy. Yeah. You can get a 5-second head start. That's your reward.
And Leroy sees it, he's just like, you know, they're gonna wear themselves out. I'm just like, yeah, but you know, like I don't feel like Nani was pacing herself. I think that's what she was bringing to the table. So, that was the you know the caveat to Leroy's plan with, hey, I know you got all this in reserve, and I'm like, I don't think she has it in reserve.
You know what? I did not like during this mission. You're now fighting for what we thought was going to be a million, but you're fighting for 900K. And the men go in, and they're still being somewhat cordial to each other until CT's like, no, 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 no. Bessie, you ain't grabbing this from me.
Oh, I love
it. Start going at, and same with the girls. Like, they're being cordial until Amber's like, Casey, I'm gonna just take that from you. And then everyone just dog piles. You even see Nani like sort of jump in on the top of the pile. Like, you know, like this, like when your kids roughhousing and you're in a scrap, and suddenly someone's like, oh, dog pile, and they just jump right on top of it.
Yeah, so we see that a fun confessional from Leroy is just please don't let CT win. Anyone but CT. Wait a second, let me fucking win. What are we seeing, Dominic?
I love that. Let me win.
Can I change my confessional? Like, that is not what I meant to say at all. Like, so that was fun. And and then CT and Fessy fight over that capsule. That made me so happy. I wanted a what's the eliminator when they have the X that they fight for?
Like, oh, it's essentially the pole wrestle.
I wanted to see a version of the pole wrestle right there.
Well, it's a callback to like their fight a couple episodes ago about like, if you're gonna step to me, like who would win? And Fessy's like, oh, I'll win every single time. Like, you couldn't really tell who won in that scrap, but you know CT ultimately won. Yep. So he got the advantage there. And you see CT's just like, dude, I ain't cocky, but come on.
Yeah.
Right. I loved it. You know, that's my favorite part so far in this episode, but we'll get to my other favorite part.
At this point, my favorite part is seeing Amber win this. And as John goes and grabs what he needs to do, Amber winning, when like her whole thing is like these type of things aren't her thing. Like, you can essentially think of this as a puzzle, even though it's just, you know, just memorizing colors to put in and you eventually get the combination. But she does, I think, it surprises a lot of people because they are thinking the only thing she's going to be good for is the running. She's not going to be useful at all for any of the challenges. But you see her win, and not only win, but have the fastest time to do it.
And in between the men's portion of this and the women's portion, we had a commercial for Match Me If You Can, presented by Pepsi and MTV. This will be on April 21st, one day after 420, featuring, that's right, Ashley Millionaire Mitchell. And for those of you that would like it, those of you watching that would like this autograph pick, become a patron. Go to adfreensfw.com. This week's patron picks, or this month's patron picks, are Troy Zan from Survivor, Ashley Millionaire Mitchell. Oh my God, is that an amazing picture? Ronnie from season 39 of Survivor, and Julie Rosenberg from Survivor. So there you go.
So if you guys want a picture of Ashley, become a patron.
Are you sure
they don't want a picture of Ronnie?
Maybe. I would want the picture of that.
I don't know, because that season doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true, too.
But the season between. Yeah.
If people watch poker, they might want a picture of him.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. He signed every single autograph different. Yeah. On every single
awesome.
Autograph.
Oh, that's awesome.
And when I had the pictures done, they accidentally printed like 20 extra of him. I don't know why. And he was just like, geez, fair play. And so everyone is different of 40 fucking pictures.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So go to adfreensfw.com and get yourself those autograph picks. There's different set of four every month. And you get all the bonus content, our weekly Q&A and everything else. A lot of fun. Match Me If You Can. Are you guys, does this look good to you? Or from the previews, it looks like two of the girls hook up and no one else, because I don't see Ashley hooking up with fucking Joey Sasso from The Circle.
I
was so shocked seeing him come on. I'm like, that's a reach of someone to pull in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Eric's on there. Maybe something with Eric.
You know what? Any show that takes away from 100 hours of the show that I'm not going to name anymore, I'm all for it. It'll be the best show ever just because it's replacing an hour of that.
And what show is that?
Oh, I'm not saying it.
What is it?
You know,
it has something to do with some guy who won't let you on his show.
Who won't let me on his show?
Oh, you know, like Rob Dyrdek.
Oh, that show. Oh,
yeah. ridiculousness. But it was Kevin Hart before this episode, so it was Harticulousness. And I'm like, dude, come on.
Oh, God.
I'm like, dude, stop it. Yeah. You're drunk. Go home.
Circle season 2 dropped today. Look for coverage here at RealityNSFW and YouTube.com/RealityNSFW with Elaine from Survivor, Professor Tim, and a different guest each week from the US and UK versions of the Circle. So excited that coverage starting immediately. So get ready. Look for it. I think they're starting tomorrow, maybe.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. That'll be great. That is a great duo that you got, having Elaine and Professor Tim. Amazing. Yeah.
And I've already watched the first 4 episodes. They're going to have a fun time covering them.
Oh, you watched the first 4 already?
Yeah, they put out 4 episodes a week. And I was just like, oh, let me watch them. I have time between like when I ended work and when the challenge was on. Let me binge them real quick. It's very fun. Great cast. They actually think strategically this season as opposed to the first season. But yeah, like, so tune in to this coverage. Watch the show and tune in for Professor Tim's analysis and Elaine's analysis. It's a great time.
Real quick, there's a guy from Chicago. Maybe sideburn, like Bryce Isaiah from Survivor coached him up before he went out there.
Oh, that, I think I know who you're talking about. I'll talk about it offline with you. I believe he's someone who's catfishing.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Okay. And like some of the names he uses, I was listening to someone else covering it. They're like, they're using a lot of sayings from Cagayan.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh. Yeah, like his fake name is Emily. And like Bryce always goes, Emily.
Sweet. So Bryce did coach someone going into this. So I'm pretty excited.
That's awesome. That's so fun to know.
Yeah. So, I thought Bryce was good on Cagayan, but I think Bryce has learned so much since Cagayan that, I mean, like,
he'd be great on the Circle.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I would love to see what type of character he would play on the Circle, because I think he could be himself, or he could even catfish if he wanted to.
I think I prefer to see him catfish, because I think he would just have so much.
I think it would be, I feel like he'd be someone just for the fun of it, go in as Wendell.
I would prefer Bryce go as Wendell on the challenge.
But, you know, going back to the challenge, Amber wins, and the big advantage that she gets is, oh, if you want to switch partners, you can. And if I'm like, I was talking with my friends about it as they went to the commercial, I'm like, if you're Amber and you just see, I just crushed this, and CT just crushed this, we ran here first. Oh, yeah, I'm going to switch to Fessy, who Fessy is the entire time thinking, oh, I'm going to get picked again.
Oh, I know, because it's all about him.
And so when she says, oh, I'm sticking with CT, they immediately cut over to Fessy, and Fessy's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then he gets, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm so glad she didn't take it. It's like, motherfucker, she won't gonna take you.
Yeah, but he expects everyone to take him.
Okay,
he always takes three times.
Yeah. All right. So who changes partners if they have the op, if they are, so let's say it's Leroy. Who does Leroy take Casey back, or does he take Cam?
I would say Leroy and Casey would, or Leroy and Cam, I think, would be the only ones who would change it just so that they could pair with each other.
I think so too.
At that point,
that would make sense.
But I also could see them.
They're spread. I think they're purposely spreading their odds.
If that's the case, then I think no one switches.
Yeah, I think Leroy backs Nani. I really seriously do, just because he is that good of a guy. I don't think he would have switched.
It also would have been funny, though, if like Nani won it, got the fastest time, and goes like, Leroy, I want you to win, so I'm taking Fessy.
Yeah.
So Casey's forced to help Leroy win. Leroy doesn't push Casey to the limit where she's going to be a little reckless and end up hurting herself because of that, and she wouldn't be gassed. And Fessy would get to complain the entire time, and we would get gold Nani confessionals being like, fuck you, Fessy.
Yeah. I would be cool with that. So, yeah. So, No Hype Network said this advantage was a complete waste. No, as I said, we're here. Like, Nani fucking up Fessy's game would not have been a complete waste. Leroy potentially, like, I know he loves Nani, but I think he has plausible deniability if he takes if he takes Cam, because he's
just honestly, I think Nani would have understood in this. Yeah. Like, she would have been hurt a little bit, but she would have been in the confessional saying, "I understand. I'm the reason why we were in last place."
Yeah. Or he takes, or they continue to spread the field and stay separate, and he takes Casey because he's just like, "You've seen what we did all season together. I got to go what brought me to the dance."
Yeah. So, and I think those are the only scenarios where it happens.
And fuck Fessy's plan. And I think everyone's like, "Oh, yeah." Except for Fessy, of course.
Yeah. Everyone else would have stayed, but he might have been the only person that maybe would have done it, and or Cam maybe. But I just think Leroy is that good of a guy where he would have just stood by Nani.
But yeah, so we go from here, and the next part is you have to run an additional 2 miles where you're retrieving a key. Then you run back, and you use the key to open up a station. No one knows what's in that station yet. Cam's hoping it's a puzzle. We all know it ends up being the gross food challenge coming back to haunt everyone. But the main story of this two-mile run is Leroy's talking about, like, "I'm letting Nani control the pace." And then you go to Casey saying, like, "Fessy, I need to slow down." And Fessy literally looks at her and goes, "No.
No."
And then keeps running faster.
Yeah. And it's never, like, and never runs encouragingly with her.
No.
At any point, like, even out of the gate, you know, like Leroy, like, I think, like, Leroy and Nani kind of knew where they were as runners. And you know, and Leroy's like, "You know, I'm going to go up front and, you know, and, you know, hopefully she could, you know," whereas Fessy's like, "I'm going to win because I'm the winner." And then, like, when they actually get to the second checkpoint, Fessy made it to the second checkpoint first all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he wanted to do. Make it all by himself.
He wants to show everyone that he's the best.
Yeah. And it's
not,
like,
that he's on the best team. It's that he's the best.
You're on a team.
He played a team sport college. Like, you know what hurt him probably? He was probably a receiving tight end and not a blocking tight end. Because, like, when you're in the trenches and you're, like, offensive line or your defense, that's brotherhood. So you're not working for your own numbers and your stats to try to get that. You're working on, like, "I'm going to pancake these motherfuckers into the ground and protect my guys in the back." Like, you're here to make the team win. And he came into the challenge going, "What can get me the win?"
Yeah. I'm going
to, what gets you the win is being a part of a team.
I'm going to do the part of Gronk that gets the highlights, not the part of Gronk that wins championships.
Yeah. I'm going to throw the Heisman. I'm going to throw the Lombardi trophy and break it and use it to bunt in a, in a game at, in Fenway.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I said, it wasn't a good look at all. And, you know, he was just like, "Oh my God, everyone's going to see this and see how great I am." And it's just like, yeah, but the word's not great.
Yeah, no. You're in a partnership. You're not a single person. And that's why I respect Leroy so much, because he realized, all right, you know what? I have to slow my pace down for Nani. I don't want to push her too hard because there's more challenge to go. Every single final is a long duration. They go for days at a time sometimes. So he knows that, hey, we have opportunities to catch up.
Yeah, and as Liz B mentions here in the comments, you know, Leroy was even encouraging Casey, not Fessy.
Because Leroy's a good guy. Like, there's nothing else you get out of not just this season, but Leroy's entire, like, challenge career.
Yeah.
Leroy is a nice guy and will always try to lift people up, even at his own detriment. But, like, so we have this. And also, if Fessy wants to also be determined to be a good guy, don't go into the fucking confessional when Casey's lying on the ground in pain and you're in confessional going, "I don't even know what to feel. I'm not angry. I'm not sad." I thought he was about to say he was disappointed.
Oh, like, that's how he was going. RIP to him on Twitter if he would have said that.
Yeah.
And but he basically said that.
Yeah, but yeah, you know what? If I were Casey's partner, I know how I would feel. Fucking sad for my partner.
I would have been devastated for her. I'm like, we were doing so good. And like, you got hurt, and this is awful. I feel so bad for you that you got
hurt.
Yeah.
First and foremost, of me. Hurt.
Like, it would have been, and for me, because I'm very empathetic, I would have felt so guilty that she got hurt, because it would have been my fault that she was pushing as hard as she was. So she was more focused on trying to catch up than focusing on where she was needing to go.
Yeah.
More
when you're on this type of terrain, not looking where you're going.
Foot placement. I mean, like I that the half marathon I ran the trail, yeah. You know, off road, you know, with the hills and rocks on. I almost ate shit twice. And those two moments were the scariest. Like, I'm just like,
yeah.
Fuck me. Like this is like, I'm trying to get this over with as quickly as possible because this is fucking miserable. But if I'm fucking carried off this fucking side of this fucking mountain, it's like, ugh, like none of this is worth anything. And yeah, I mean, like, just tunnel vision, just stare at rocks, stare at rocks, stare at rocks. And she's looking at the guy going, what are you doing? I'm over here winning all by myself. Why can't you catch up to me? The guy that's winning all by himself.
Yeah. And we get this. So like the other teams are now passing them and you see Nani's now like Nani and Leroy are now passing them. And Nani has a confessional of like, you can see in Fessy's eyes of like, oh, she lost this final for me.
Yeah.
I didn't lose it. And she's like, dude, realize it's not about you for once. Like, it's never been about you.
They're supposed to be friends. That's the other thing that bugs me about the entire situation. Like, yeah. Have some sympathy for her. Be there. She's clearly in a ton of pain. You can just
hear it. And I'm not saying he didn't have sympathy for her, but at that moment, he was too self-centered thinking inwardly about, oh, we were in first place.
Oh, me.
We had this in the bag, not knowing that he would then have to eat. But it's like, I was going to win. Like, I bet in his mind, he wasn't saying we were going to win. He was like, I was going to win.
It that's me and anyone that I'm there with at this point. And I would like to think that I would have maneuvered myself to be with a good friend, mm-hmm. or hopefully a close friend. And I felt that Fessy and Katie were close friends. There's no way. If that's me, and I'm an arrogant asshole, I admit that, you know, but, you know, there's secretly nice things about me. I'm holding my close friend's hand at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sitting there pouting.
Yeah, I mean, like he was looking the other, like it was a look of disgust. Like, yeah. Oh, how could she do this? Versus like I'm on my fucking knees holding her hand, or, you know, like look, it doesn't matter. It, like, all that matters is that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the challenge those doesn't matter anymore.
No,
those words are never uttered.
Yeah, or it's at least not shown to us, because I know they're friends in real, like outside this game. Like, I know after this final, they are probably still at least in talking terms with each other. Like, they're going to be on another season of each other. Maybe it comes back to haunt them. We don't know. I don't know the full story. I'm not as close to, I've never spoken two words to Casey or to Fessy. So
we have a comment from Jamil Thomas. I'm guessing I'm the only one who likes Fessy. Oh, hey Fessy, well, joined us here on the chat. Thank you, Fessy, for using an assumed name and joining us here this week.
And you know, that's the great thing about these shows. People that a lot of people hate, there are going to be people who like them.
Yeah. Fessy fan.
Well, I think this season, though, in particular, it got worse. Like, he was okay on the last season, but this one, I'm like, no.
I mean, as I said, that this, like, I didn't, I thought the climax of the season was building towards who would win TJ's final, not the climax of, you know, hey, if you hated Fessy, oh, you wait. Mm-hmm. We got you, brother.
Yeah, you're like, that's what this season has all been building towards. Not who wins, but the downfall of Fessy.
Yeah. So Casey's down, blows her knee out of the socket. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'd met Casey the previous year. So sweet. Like, it was so crazy. Like, so Harsh Reality the previous year, you know, pre-COVID and, you know, and everyone's interacting. I don't fault them or any, or so when a show just ends, and the first time that the cast of that show have the opportunity to all come together somewhere, you know, they all want to see each other because, you know, it's the first time, it's a special time. It's a once in a lifetime time for a lot of these people. You know, that's the only time they're ever all going to get together. So with that Big Brother cast, they all kind of hung to themselves for the most part. And then Tyler and Angela, like, just, you know, segregate, like they would interact with just the Big Brother people and then just segregate themselves from everyone. So, but Casey was in that group, but she was just like, hey, you're Johnny. Hey, you're like, I mean, she like high five and everybody, like, as I said, probably the nicest person at this, and it's a charity event. So everyone's nice. She's probably the nicest person at this charity event. So when, you know, me and Zach went back, I was just like, hey, like, you know, I met Casey last year. She's a sweetheart. I loved her, you know. So hopefully she was like, Johnny. And she was just like, you know, and you know, Zach's like, what's happening? She goes, hey. I'm like, whoa, we'll talk in a minute.
She seems like a real social butterfly. She really does. I think if you're talking about anyone that you see on any of these seasons, she seems very, very genuine and to herself. And then when you actually meet her in person, that's just, it seems like that's a person you're going
to
get.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like these shows don't know how to properly show that. Cause like everyone goes, Casey's so boring. Why do people like Casey? She's just there. She's a wallflower. I'm like, no, like if you understand what she's doing and why she's going along, it's because she's able to build very genuine bonds with people. Yeah, and then like everyone. The people that she rocks with.
Yeah. And non-confrontationally with the people that aren't in that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a gift. So, I mean, like she won Big Brother for a reason. Big Brother is a social game. I mean, it's
all about connections and who you burn and how you burn them.
Big Brother, you're not riding on the back of a tractor trailer at 55 miles an hour. You're doing 5-piece puzzles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wearing costumes.
And wearing costumes.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess you do that on the challenge for your one bar scene a season.
Oh, but yes. That was a good.
Yeah, back when Fessy wore a tutu.
You know.
That was 80s, good.
80s night.
80s night. 80s. But yeah, so we get to the boxes and they start to unlock it. And the first thing you see, oh, did you guys know it's the return of Nom's testicles?
Oh, sweet. Who doesn't love Nom's testicles? So we have Sheepface, Nom's testicles, and a liter of blood each. And God bless Corey. If you didn't like him up till now, he just broke it all down. He goes, cue the Corey vomit montage.
Yeah, cue it. It's there. I know I did it. You're going to show it. Just show it.
Every season.
You know what? Some of it was so unnecessary, though. Like, they showed people puking and then regurgitating the puke so that they could puke it again. I'm like, oh, you didn't have to go this hard, MTV. But some of the people, when it was coming back up, I'm like, I'm not sure if it was the blood. I think they literally just threw up an organ.
Oh, Amber B. Sure.
They win. Oh. They win. They say, they do the horn. Amber and CT, you win. The lung comes out.
Yeah, that was a bad one. I was not prepared for that.
TJ says, that's disgusting. As he walks away. So, but the music they're playing during the montage and during this challenge, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Relax, from the album Welcome to the Pleasure Dome. And here we go.
Right, I just think of Zoolander whenever I hear that song.
I'm trying. No, there was a movie. There was an 80s movie. I have a computer. I could look, but there was a pretty like I want to say like hardcore like here, relax.
Don't do it.
Fuck it. Makes you wanna do it.
But yeah, as he's researching it, great song choice. I also think they could have done like the
body double. It's at the beginning of Body Double, and it's like hardcore, like fucking like hardcore fucking sex scene, like sex club scene thing, like fucking like I think that's where someone dies at the beginning of the movie. Like, mm-hmm. Excuse me. Someone's killing me.
It's killing you even talking about it.
Yeah. Well, I saw that this came out in 1984. Like I kind of sneaked into a room and saw it when I wasn't supposed to. I was 10 years old at the time, and I'm just like, holy shit. And that's like the first time I heard that song, and then I hear it on the radio afterwards. I'm like, whoa, this song is about bad stuff. and then it was later in T2 Train Spotting. Not sure. 2000. Anyway, so I love the song. I have the album. And thank you to whoever put that there. So, tell us, Lauren, tell us how impressed you were once it's time for CT. Like, I was ready to throw up with Casey walking to the station, the food station.
Buckling at least three times.
Yeah. And I'm ready to throw up at that. Cause I'm just like, fucking throw up the X. Like this is over. So, but no, like I said, that would make me puke, but, yeah. Not Fessy. He could stomach that. No problem, but can't stomach a little sheep face. Can he?
No, the issue I have with the entire situation, he's literally chilling there. And knows that Casey's in freaking pain, and she's over there being a boss and eating, and he's just like
tears,
no remorse. He's tears. Like just staring.
Yeah,
yeah. Tears in pride driving her.
Yes.
And Fessy lacks all that.
Yeah, Fessy's like already in the fetus attitude. He already knows he doesn't want to eat. He's like, well, it's pointless to even eat because we're gonna come in last on day two anyway. And then I love Leroy just going, hey, Leroy's, or hey, Fessy, start eating. Hey, pussy.
Yeah.
Stop being a pussy and start eating. And you have Casey yelling at him, yo, you better start fucking eating.
Yeah.
She was trying to drown blood.
It was sickening. It was fucking, it wasn't sickening because they were eating fucking balls and fucking face and drinking blood. It was sickening, his fucking lack of fucking pride.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she shows the drive right there, and he can give her nothing. Like, she's hobbling around. She's willing to eat this food to give them a shot and saying, they're not going to DQ me. Give it a go. And if they do DQ them, well, at least they went out, you know, badass about it.
Well, no, I think they would have DQ'd her if they were going to DQ her.
Exactly. If they were going to DQ her, they would have done it then. They would not have risked her trying to put weight on that leg and get to the end. At that point, there's a liability.
Yeah, there might have been
day two. Maybe there's sometimes they'll say she's medically unfit to go, so they might check her again.
Yeah, there's more than likely a reevaluation. But the fact that she was not DQ'd prior to the food means that the door is somewhat open. And if the door is somewhat open, don't fucking close it yourself because you don't fucking want to eat fucking balls.
Yeah.
As he signed up for.
Exactly. Leroy even says he's familiar with the testicles. I love Leroy during this segment. Like, him and CT were just giving you life because you have Leroy just trying to make some jokes out of it. Then you have CT going like, dude, this is nothing. Like, I would order two more of these Bloody Marys. Give me some more sheep face, why don't you? Like, I was thinking he was about to give himself the dessert just to, like, show off to everyone and be like,
look at
this, guys. Like, just go right in front of Fessy's face, like, oh, want a bite? Want a bite? Are you sure?
So, CT and Amber win stage two. The big vomit as the climax was amazing. Mm-hmm. And so their advantage is they get to give one more plate of food to the remaining three teams. Who do you think it goes to?
Cam and Corey. I think in my opinion, it should go to Cam and Corey because you already see that Leroy and Nani are a little bit weaker right now. And then Fessy's not even fucking eating. So what's the point? I would just give it to Cam and Corey.
I agree. Doesn't eat it. Like, I think if you give them that other plate, I don't even know if they're going to finish the fucking plate they have.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So I wouldn't waste it on, I mean, that's the humane thing to do. Just because, like you just look at Casey and go, look, just stop. Your fucking partner fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You're twice the fucking human being he is with one fucking leg. Just fucking stop.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at it. It's like the humane thing is giving it to Casey and Fessy and just letting the other teams go. And also, if you have this confidence build up from winning the two checkpoints, you're in first place, like pretty securely. You're like, we can outrun them. And that's what most of day two is going to be. There may be like one more checkpoint and that's it. The rest will be like climbing a mountain, usually. But at the same time, yeah, Cam and Corey are in second place. You give it to Cam and Corey because I'm not scared of Leroy and Nani as a pair this point in time. That's what they're thinking.
As the emotional, sympathetic viewer that I am at this point, I don't want it. Like, I'm like Leroy's working with a handicap right now.
Yeah.
like, don't make it any more than it is. Like, I want Leroy to win. Come on, give me the story ending.
Yeah, and I will say, for those who watched the preview on the next on, like, you can pretty clearly see which teams still make it because you see Cam and Leroy at different stages, like, doing something else, and the only clip you get of Casey and Fessy is Fessy actually attempting to eat something and immediately spitting it out.
Yeah, that's the only clip is from this challenge. So, or this station.
But we know he actually attempts to eat something because it's going to be him be able to turn it and be like, see, I overcame. I decided I was going to help. And in my good nature, I decided to, you know, take one for the team and really take a big chunk out of that testicle.
I had two bites.
Yeah, I spit it out immediately. But, like, you know, it's what it represented.
I hope he doesn't say that. If he does say that, I'll roast his ass.
No, what he's going to say is, this was my season to win. Unfortunately, none of my female partners were able to stack up to me. Even Casey let me down by getting hurt. Oh. You know, what a loser getting hurt during a final. I would never. But here I am, leaving in fourth place yet again.
Oh, well, there is some.
He's not used to coming in last, but I would beg to differ. Based off these seasons.
Yeah, you're right.
So I love this episode. I mean, other than, like, I mean, I love Casey, and that hurts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, oh, please. Because, as I said, like, I didn't know when it happened. I had to personally assume it happened in the challenge. And I'm just like, okay, is there an eliminator that's happened? Like, you know, like someone plays dirty in a hall brawl. And I'm just like, okay, no. And then she makes, I'm just like, okay, maybe she breaks it crossing the finish line. Like, I just want to, you know, just hope for them. I mean, you don't root against your friends.
No.
Well, Bessie would, but I would.
No, yeah, absolutely. And like, I'm going into this next episode already counting them out. Like, congratulations, Casey, for having a really good season. You dominated the social game and political game. You allowed Fessy to believe he had an impact on the political and social game. You know, like, between you and Corey, you both tricked him into going into elimination, thinking it was his move. Like, yep, congratulations all around. You had an awesome season. Can't wait to have you come back. Yeah. Fessy, I hope you improve yourself. I hope you grow as an individual from all this. And you really have that face turn that everyone, maybe not everyone, Lauren definitely does not want it to happen, but some people do. You know, better on, but we have three teams that I very much enjoy going into the part two of the finale.
Yeah. So for those of you looking for season 37 speculation, we began. Yes, we started a little early because it was only a 1 hour episode of the challenge versus the 90 minute episode that we've been used to. We began the episode talking season 37 speculation. So that is there. The only thing we didn't mention is, you know, Jay's out for
COVID protocol.
And there was an early rumor that Wes was his replacement, and that is allegedly debunked. Wes is not there. So, but yeah, go back and listen to the beginning of the podcast. There is plenty of season 37 talk at the beginning, just out of nowhere. So it's there. Don't forget, we've been covering Big Brother Canada. It's an awesome podcast. Even if you don't watch Big Brother Canada, fucking Brent Wolgamott will fucking.
It's entertaining.
It is the best television show recap podcast I've ever listened to in my entire life. Brent is fire. It's like, holy moly. Mm-hmm. I said, don't watch the show. You don't need to. Just watch the podcast with Brent. For sure. And we will be back tomorrow talking the Challenge All-Stars, and we will be joined by Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
How cool is that, guys?
Hey, he's been a focal point in these first two episodes. I would be very much looking forward to hear his takes on the early portions of this season.
Yeah, so Nehemiah will be joining us. He is my tenderoni. And very excited. 2 weeks we got Mark Long. And so
that's going to be a good one.
And in 2 weeks, we'll be talking part 7 of Double Agents final.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's only one team left.
Oh, sweet.
But they could lose.
They could lose.
TJ wins the final.
I'm cool with that. So, so join us tomorrow night at 10 p.m. We will not be going early. We will definitely start at 10 p.m. tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for those of you wondering. So just go to youtube.com/realityNSFW and click the subscribe button right now so you get the alert for that. And you would have got the alert for tonight, us going early. And check out our circle coverage. Professor Tim and Elaine just wrapped up the Circle UK season 3. And they did the finale fucking through the roof with the views. People loved it. People are still clamoring about it. And they will be starting the Circle US season 2 coverage, I believe, tomorrow. Don't hold me to it. Once again, go to youtube.com/realityNSFW. Click subscribe. You'll find out when they go live. And you can always watch everything and listen to everything at realityNSFW.com. And if you just want to listen, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you podcast, and click the and just do a search for Reality NSFW. And lastly, the best way to support the podcast, no contest, is to become a patron. Go to adfreensfw.com. Become a patron. There's all kinds of levels. You can watch Australian Survivor season 2 with us right now. We're on episode 21. Very tough episode to watch this week. And we do a podcast after the episode every single week. That's a lot of fun. We do a weekly Q&A. That is my favorite podcast, other than this one, of course. And you can also get autographed pics of people like Ashley Millionaire Mitchell. Oh, my God. Why was I not on that? What was it? Match Me If You Can. Come on, Pepsi Cola. I know you suck, but you can still have me on there. Anyway, with that, thank you so much, guys. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, listeners and viewers. You guys are all awesome. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow, next week, and forever here at Reality NSFW. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.